All right, so everybody get this. Congress is like on the verge of a total meltdown. We're talking a government shutdown.
Yeah.
And you know who's at the center of it all? Well, it's that unlikely duo, President-elect Trump and, you know, Elon Musk. It's political drama with like a capital D. Mm. And you are here right in that front row seat. So what's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
Congress has that until Friday at midnight?
Friday at midnight.
To pass a spending bill. This is, you know, the one that keeps the lights on in Washington. And they actually had like a bipartisan agreement.
They did.
Or so we thought.
Yeah. So this bill, it wasn't just some, you know, bare bones thing. Right. This was like a massive piece of legislation. Over 1,500 pages.
Yeah.
And it was packed with everything you can think of. Disaster relief for hurricane-ravaged areas.
Oh, wow.
Aid for farmers struggling with drought. Infrastructure projects to fix, you know, all those like crumbling roads and bridges we have.
Yeah.
There were even provisions for healthcare reform and cracking down on, you know, those pesky hidden fees that we all hate.
Oh, those hidden fees. Everybody hates those.
Yeah.
It seems like they really tried to, you know, cover all the bases, right?
Yeah, you really do.
I mean, who doesn't love getting rid of hidden fees? But then like out of nowhere, Trump and Musk, they just slam the deal, urging Republicans to like totally torpedo the whole thing. What gives?
Yeah.
Why would anyone want to shut down the government just days before Christmas?
Right. Well, you know, it all boils down to their perspective on the role of government.
Yeah.
You know, for some, especially in like the more hardline parts of the Republican Party, this massive spending bill, it represents everything that they just can't stand about big government.
Yeah.
Bloated budgets, wasteful spending.
Okay.
And just a tendency to meddle in areas that they think are better left, you know, to the private sector.
Yeah.
Musk called the bill. And he said it in his typical, very blunt way. He called it a piece of pork.
Piece of pork.
Yeah. And he urged voters to just kick out, you know, any lawmaker who dared to support it.
Wow, that's harsh. You know, it's interesting because we see this like disruptor mentality reflected in, you know, Musk's own life story. There's a biography out about him and it talks about his willingness to just take risks, learn by blowing things up, revise and repeat. It sounds kind of familiar in this context, doesn't it?
It really does. And his call for a government shutdown until Trump takes office, it really resonated with certain Republicans. I mean, you see Representatives Green, Burchett, and Mace, for instance.
Yeah.
They have been super vocal about their support for this strategy. They argue that a temporary shutdown, it's just a small price to pay for, you know, reining in government spending and just sending a clear message that they're serious about fiscal responsibility.
So it's not just about, you know, the dollars and cents. It's like making a statement. But what's the end game here? What do these Republicans actually think they will achieve?
Yeah.
By bringing the government to like a screeching halt?
Yeah. Well, from their perspective, a shutdown is a way to exert leverage, to force Democrats to the negotiating table and agree to a spending bill that's been like drastically slimmed down.
Much smaller.
Yeah, much smaller. They believe that the pressure to reopen the government and to avoid all the disruption that it would cause will be so great that Democrats will eventually just have to cave to their demands.
So it's like a high-stakes game of chicken.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's definitely a risky gamble. Public opinion often turns against whichever party is seen as responsible for a shutdown.
Right.
This could really easily backfire on the Republicans.
All right, so let's like unpack this a bit. You mentioned that Trump wants a leaner spending bill. What does that actually mean? What's on his chopping block?
Well, Trump has laid out a few key demands.
Yeah.
First, he wants to see a significant reduction in what he calls Democratic giveaways,
okay,
which are basically programs and initiatives he sees as wasteful or ideologically driven. Think environmental regulations, social welfare programs, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Second, he wants Congress to raise the debt ceiling while Biden is still in office.
Hold on. The debt ceiling. Isn't that usually like a massive political battle in itself? Mm. Why would Trump want to deal with that right now? Especially, you know, when he's about to take office.
Yeah.
And could potentially push it off onto Biden.
That's a good question. And that's really where the political strategy comes in. By forcing a debt ceiling increase before Biden leaves office, Trump basically shifts the blame for any economic fallout.
Well,
it allows him to start his second term with a clean slate.
Okay.
And avoid that messy political fight that inevitably comes with raising the debt ceiling.
Ah, so it's all about controlling the narrative.
Yeah.
And setting himself up for a smooth start to his term. But doesn't this create a huge problem for Republicans in Congress, especially Speaker Johnson? He was the one who brokered the original deal that Trump just like blew up.
Absolutely. Johnson is now in a really precarious position.
Yeah.
He's facing a revolt from within his own party.
Wow.
With some members calling for him to be removed as speaker. Representative Massey even said that it would take a Christmas miracle for Johnson to hold on to his job.
Wow. Talk about a political pressure cooker.
Yeah.
So for our listeners in Phoenix who are following all this drama, what does this all mean for the country? What are like the potential consequences if this shutdown standoff continues?
That is the million-dollar question. And honestly, the answer is pretty complex. But I think it's safe to say that a government shutdown, especially one that's fueled by such deep ideological divisions, would be a major setback for the country.
We'll dive deeper into those potential consequences in just a bit. But first, a quick reminder for our listeners in Phoenix. If you are looking for the perfect soundtrack to like navigate all this political chaos, tune in to 95.5 FM The Heat Phoenix Radio at 955theheat.com. They've got the best R&B, old school, and hip hop beats to keep you grooving no matter what's happening in Washington. We'll be right back after a quick break.
Okay, we are back. And let's face it, the political landscape is looking like a bit of a minefield right now. We were discussing, you know, the potential fallout from this government shutdown standoff. And it's not just about political posturing, is it? This could have like some real life impacts on people. It really does. Imagine you're a family and you're relying on food stamps to like put meals on the table.
Right.
Or you're a senior citizen who's waiting for their Social Security checks. Suddenly those services are disrupted. Because the government is just, you know, at a standstill.
Yeah.
This isn't just like an abstract political debate. Okay. It has real world consequences for, you know, people's lives.
It's those ripple effects that are often overlooked in the heat of the moment. Right?
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in all the political drama.
Yeah.
But we have to remember that real people are affected by these decisions.
Exactly. And it's not just about individuals. The entire economy can feel the strain of a shutdown.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Businesses that rely on government contracts, they face uncertainty and potential layoffs. Consumer confidence takes a hit. And the stock market often reacts negatively.
Yeah.
It creates this sense of instability that can linger long after the shutdown ends.
So if a shutdown is so disruptive.
Yeah.
And potentially damaging. Why would Republicans think this is like a good strategy? What are they hoping to achieve by essentially holding the government hostage?
Well, it all boils down to this fundamental belief that the government has just become too big, too intrusive, and too wasteful.
Okay.
They see a shutdown as a way to force a dramatic reduction in government spending and a shift away from programs they view as unnecessary.
Yeah.
Or even harmful.
So it's about shrinking the size and scope of the government, almost like a reset button.
Yeah, in a way. They believe that a temporary shutdown is a small price to pay for, you know, long-term fiscal responsibility and a return to what they see as the core principles of limited government. Mm-hmm. They're betting that the public will ultimately side with them, viewing the pain of a shutdown as like a necessary evil to achieve these goals.
But that's a pretty big gamble, isn't it? As we mentioned before, public opinion often turns against the party seen as responsible for a shutdown. And it's not like Democrats are just going to roll over and accept whatever demands are thrown at them.
You're right. It's a risky strategy. And there's no guarantee of success, Democrats have already said, that they're not willing to negotiate under the threat of a shutdown.
Okay.
They argue that the original spending bill was a product of bipartisan compromise. And that Republicans are now moving the goalposts simply because they don't like the outcome of the election.
So we've got this standoff between two seemingly immovable forces. On one hand, you have Republicans demanding deep cuts and a shift in government priorities. On the other, you have Democrats standing their ground and refusing to be bullied into concessions. Feels like something has to give, right?
Absolutely. The question is, what will that something be? Will Republicans blink first and back down from their shutdown threat? Will Democrats make some concessions to avoid a major disruption? Or will both sides just dig in their heels, leading to a shutdown that could have devastating consequences?
Speaking of consequences, we've talked about the impact on, you know, everyday Americans and the overall economy. But what about the political fallout?
Oh, yeah.
Could this shutdown battle have like long-term implications for the balance of power in Washington?
Oh, there's no doubt that this fight will leave its mark on the political landscape. If Republicans are successful in forcing through their demands, it could really embolden them to take an even more aggressive approach in the future, potentially leading to more shutdowns and a further erosion of bipartisanship.
And on the flip side, if Democrats manage to hold their ground and the shutdown backfires on Republicans, could that weaken Trump's position and make it harder for him to, like, govern effectively.
It's certainly possible. A failed shutdown could damage his credibility and make it more difficult for him to rally support for his agenda. It could also create lasting rifts within the Republican Party, making it harder for them to present a united front.
So there's a lot at stake here, both in the short term and the long term. It's not just about this one spending bill. It's about the future of our government and the way we make decisions as a nation. But amidst all this political maneuvering, there's one figure who's been surprisingly influential, Elon Musk. What do you make of his involvement in all of this?
It's definitely unusual to see someone with his background playing such an active role in a political fight. He's not a politician. He's not a lobbyist. He's a tech entrepreneur who's suddenly become like a major voice in the debate over government spending.
It seems like his pronouncements on social media carry as much weight as some official statements from like the Trump transition team. Some might say he's become a shadow advisor of sorts.
That's a good point. His support for a shutdown and his criticism of the spending deal have definitely resonated with a segment of the Republican base. It's almost as if he's become a symbol of this populist movement that's skeptical of big government and eager for a more disruptive approach to politics.
It makes you wonder, what's his end game here? Is he genuinely concerned about government waste? Or is he simply using this as a platform to, like, further his own interests?
That's a really good question. His critics argue that he's just grandstanding, trying to curry favor with the incoming administration and, you know, position himself for lucrative government contracts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
His supporters, on the other hand, they believe that he's bringing a much needed outsider perspective to Washington, challenging the status quo and pushing for real change.
It's interesting to see how his involvement has added another layer of complexity to this whole situation. And speaking of complex, let's not forget about that looming debt ceiling issue. That's like a ticking time bomb in the background of all this, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Wow. The debt ceiling is the legal limit on how much money the U.S. government can borrow to pay its bills. If Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling, the government could default on its financial obligations, which would have catastrophic consequences for the economy.
And Trump's demand that Congress raise the debt ceiling before Biden takes office just adds fuel to the fire. It puts Democrats in a really tough spot.
It does. They're being asked to make a really difficult choice, either give in to Trump's demand and risk facing backlash from their own base, or stand firm and potentially be blamed for a debt crisis.
Wow.
It's a classic political dilemma with no easy answers.
Okay, so we've got a potential government shutdown, a power struggle between Congress and the president-elect, and the looming threat of a debt crisis. It's a lot to digest, and it feels like we're on the edge of our seats waiting to see how this all unfolds.
You've hit the nail on the head, and that's why it's so crucial for us as informed citizens to pay attention, to ask questions, and to demand that our elected officials act responsibly and put the needs of the country first.
Well said. And for those of you who want to dive deeper into this complex issue, I encourage you to check out the Utica Phoenix YouTube channel. They've got a ton of great content that breaks down these complex issues in a way that's both informative and engaging.
We'll be right back after a quick break to continue our deep dive into this government shutdown showdown.
So we've been talking about this political tug of war, you know, with the potential government shutdown looming. And it's clear that this is not just some abstract debate that's, you know, happening in Washington. This has like real world consequences for all of us.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We've touched on the economic fallout, but let's get even more specific. So imagine this, you're planning a trip to a national park.
Okay.
But it's closed because the park rangers are furloughed.
Right.
Or you need a passport like urgently. But the processing offices are shut down.
Wow.
It's these everyday services that people just rely on that suddenly become unavailable.
It's like a domino effect, right? One thing shuts down and then another. And suddenly you've got this like widespread disruption
that
affects everybody in some way.
Exactly. And it's not just inconvenience we're talking about either. Think about like vital services, air traffic control, food safety inspections, even law enforcement.
Yeah.
A shutdown could compromise those essential functions and really put people's health and safety at risk.
So it's a stark reminder that, you know, a functioning government is not just about abstract policies. It's about, you know, ensuring the basic well-being of its citizens.
Absolutely. And this brings us back to, you know, what Republicans are hoping to achieve with this shutdown strategy. Is it purely about, you know, shrinking the government, or is there like a deeper political calculation at play?
Well, it seems like some Republicans are willing to accept that short-term pain of a shutdown if it means, you know, advancing their long-term goal of, you know, reducing the size and scope of government.
Yeah, you're right. They see this as like a battle over fundamental principles, a fight against what they perceive as government overreach and, you know, wasteful spending. They argue that a temporary shutdown is a necessary step to force Democrats to make concessions and, you know, agree to a more fiscally conservative agenda.
But couldn't this, like, totally backfire?
Sure. You know,
public opinion often turns against the party that's seen as responsible for a shutdown. Is it really worth the risk?
It's a high-stakes gamble, for sure. They're betting that the public will share their frustration with, you know, government spending, and that they will ultimately side with them, even if it means enduring some short-term pain.
So we're left with this incredibly tense situation, a potential government shutdown, a power struggle between Congress and the president-elect, and the looming threat of a debt crisis.
Yeah.
It's a lot to process. And it really feels like we're at a crossroads in American politics.
It certainly feels that way. And as we wrap up our deep dive into this really complex issue, I think it's really important for us to emphasize that this isn't just a game. That's being played by politicians in Washington. The decisions they make, or, you know, fail to make, have very real consequences for all of us.
Absolutely. So what can we as engaged citizens do in the face of, you know, all this political turmoil?
Well, I think first and foremost, stay informed. Don't just rely on headlines or, you know, social media sound bites. Dig deeper, explore different perspectives, and, you know, challenge your own assumptions. The more informed we are, the better equipped we'll be to hold our elected officials accountable.
That's a good point. And don't underestimate the power of your voice. You know, reach out to your representatives, express your concerns, and, you know, let them know what you expect from them.
That's right. Our democracy relies on active participation. It's not enough to just watch from the sidelines. We need to engage, to debate, and to demand that our leaders prioritize the well-being of the country over partisan politics.
Well said. It's a good reminder that even amidst, you know, the chaos and the uncertainty, there's always hope. As long as we, you know, remain engaged and informed, we can navigate these challenges and, you know, work towards a better future for our country.
And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive for today. But before we go, I want to leave you with one final thought. This government shutdown showdown, you know, as messy and frustrating as it may seem, it's a reflection of those deep divisions and the ideological battles that are really shaping our political landscape. It's up to all of us to find ways to bridge those divides, to you know, listen to each other and to find common ground.
Well said. And for those of you who are looking for a way to, like, unwind after all this political talk, I've got just the thing. Tune in to 95.5 FM, The Heat Phoenix Radio, at 955theheat.com for the best R&B, old school, and hip-hop music.
And for those of you who are hungry for more deep dives into, you know, all kinds of complex issues, be sure to subscribe to the Utica Phoenix YouTube channel. We've got a lot more fascinating discussions coming your way.
Thanks for joining us on this roller coaster ride through the world of government shutdowns. And, political intrigue. We'll see you next time for another deep dive.